Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Hope
for you.
Thank you for joining us.
We're excited to be here.
We are excited to be here. And you might already have noticed Shanti is wearing some new swag.
I noticed right away.
Skylar noticed right away. We are going to have these for sale this Sunday.
Yeah.
$35 per hoodie. I have one here because I want to show you the back. Is fantastic. I don't drop everything as I'm doing this, but it just says, just show up. Wow, my voice just went away there. Just show up.
Hebrews 10:25.
So, you know, that's the secret to success, really, sometimes, is just showing up.
Yeah.
Being faithful.
Right.
It's amazing.
Getting together.
Amen.
Assembling together.
Yes.
Yes.
It's good. It's beneficial. Mm-hmm. Just like for church and afterwards a Sunday for lunch.
Yeah. It's easy to disregard how much growth you can have and how much God can do in your life if you just show up.
Yeah.
It seems like, well, just like life, it seems like all the simple things are actually the important things.
Yeah.
And it's easy to not do them. It's just as easy to do them as it is to not do them. Mm-hmm. It's important to do them. So make that decision to just show up.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. That was good. Just keep preaching, sister.
Okay.
But hey, thanks for joining us on all our social media platforms that just came up and left. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, thank you. Leave us a rating, review, all those nice things that you can do for us to help in the algorithm. Let's see who all is watching. We have Kim. Emily is here. Nick. He says, hello, kitchen crew. Alyssa Dollison's here. Let's see who else we have.
Also,
Pastor Mark.
Kim. If I think you said that. Terry.
Pastor
Mark. Clarissa. Emily. Nelly.
Nice.
Woo.
We have 12 people watching.
Yeah.
Make sure you give it a thumbs up. Everybody hit the thumbs up button.
Skylar's here.
Skylar is
here. He says.
He's always here helping run this whole thing from behind the camera or on his own special Skycam. See? Right there. That was scary. Oh, man. Betsy is here as well. Clarissa is here. She made it home and ready to comment.
She's got her fingers ready for typing. Yeah,
they're already burning up the keyboard.
And the kitchen crew. We love that kitchen crew.
I know.
They're preparing for us for Sunday for a family meal. It's going to be wonderful.
That's the kitchen
crew. A woohoo.
I was thinking a pop-up grill kitchen. People working in the
different kitchen crew. They're different all, we crew. Love all the kitchen
we
crews.
We do, because they make food, and kitchen. Food is good. Skylar said, bring on the kitchen, whatever that means. but hey, thank you all so much for joining us. Did I forget? No, I did bring it. Oh, today is Wild Wednesday, so to the 100th commenter.
All right.
We've got a book to give away, and it is The War Is Over by Brother Andrew Womack. And this is a great, great book. Just talking about, it says, peace has been won. We're already at peace with God. The war is over. It's good to know. God's not mad, so stop struggling with sin and judgment.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
So, and we're going to talk about a little bit of that today in this last chapter of the book.
How many are glad that we're done with this book? Don't raise your hand.
Right. Because if you're, we might just go through it again. That'd be fun.
We could.
That would
we
be
could
fun.
Just be ongoing.
It would be so fun.
We would always get something out of it, though.
We would, because there's so much to it, and there's so many truths in the Word of God that we could go through. So
absolutely.
Let's take a look at where we're at. You're right there. Skylar. See, I hear Skylar, like, do this, like, laughy-ness back there. Oh, gosh. Heaps. All right. Give me that book. Okay. Well, be the hunt commenter. All right. Let's look at Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. This has been our kind of our core scripture through the whole thing. I'm going to read it in Passion Translation today. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. Heh, that's a lot. Then it goes on and says, and you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. And like I've said before, like those verses, you could probably just do a whole nother 8-part series breaking all those apart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good.
It is a lot to in there, a lot to it, but it really leads into this last chapter about a living sacrifice is what it's called. The chapter is, but it's really, you know, we'll talk about it. It's laying yourself on the altar. And we just came from Kickstart. Mm-hmm. And the theme of Kickstart was fire. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Moore, he talks about how he had an experience with the fire of God, you know, 35 years ago. And it's still burning in him. It's still alive in him. And he'd pray for people for fresh fire. And, I mean, it was a great, great week for everybody who was there, everybody who watched, who participated. There's just so much in those teachings for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things he said was, God always meets you in the place of sacrifice, mm-hmm. not in the place of comfort. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that is a real truth, because we want it to be just a place of comfort. Like, you mean I have to give up that, or I have to stop doing that? Mm-hmm. But that's what I really like to do. Mm-hmm. But God's calling you away from that to get closer with him.
Because really, it's not that God's trying to take good things away from you or things that you enjoy away from you. It's because those things are holding a higher place in your mind or your heart than what God is. Mm-hmm. And so he knows what's best.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, there's tons of examples you can use in parenting. I mean, if you left a child to his own devices, I mean, he's just going to play video. I say he because I have a son, and he wants to play video games like as much as he can. And if he were allowed to do that, if he didn't have responsibilities and family things and, you know, then that wouldn't be good for him. I mean, we have to do certain things as we raise our kids to help them to become responsible members of the community. And it's not because we don't want them to do the things that they like to do.
Right, right.
And I mean, that's just a very natural example. In these kinds of things, it's even the thoughts mm-hmm. that we think.
Yeah.
And God knows our heart. God knows the things we think about, the things that we aren't willing to give up, mm-hmm. the things that, you know, we think are a part of us. We think are part of our identity.
And that's where it gets really testy is and hard for people, because they identify with something God's asking them to lay down and give up. Mm-hmm. Because that's like, that's what I do. That's who I am. That's what, you know, I've always done this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just when you were talking about that, it's like, he's not asking you to get rid of it for your bad. It's always for your good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first of the 10 commandments, but in Exodus 20, God says, verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So he's saying, I'm the one that brought you out. The first thing he says is, you shall have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
And I think so many people think, and really other translations say idols, or really it's anything that you place at a higher priority than being with God.
Right.
And so many people think, well, I'm not worshiping Buddha or, you know, some other religion mm-hmm. and their gods mm-hmm. or whatever. So I'm okay because God's still my God, but I'm still doing all these other things first.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. That's not what, God is saying to do. Now, obviously him being your God is the right choice, but also anything that gets between your desire to be with him, it gets in the middle of that, is now a god in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's like, you shall have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. So that's something we all have to rework our brains to. So when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we should be thinking about is, oh, I get to be with God today, mm-hmm. rather than I get to go fishing, or I get to, you know, play video games, or I get to do whatever you right. like to do. Right. So there's time. We have to make sure we take time to keep God first in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some really, I mean, we haven't really even got into it yet, but he talks all about that. And that's a lot of what I have highlighted in notes is all about like assessing yourself, going back and looking like, yeah. how am I doing right now? It's about these adjustments that we make.
Yeah. Yeah. So what time? Yeah. We're 15 minutes in. Look at that. Time flies when you're having so much fun.
I know.
Oh, no, it's so awesome. Give me the Skylar. Skylar really wants this book.
He really does. Maybe he should have it.
If only I had more copies.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you read this verse, that first verse that it starts out with?
Just that first paragraph? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Start with that first paragraph.
It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1.
I love that. It's just your
reason. I know. That's what's reasonable. Present yourself as a living sacrifice today by humbling yourself, rejecting self as Lord, and laying on God's altar. Mm-hmm. Just like picture this in your mind. Picture yourself doing this. You're presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. You humble yourself. You reject yourself as Lord, and you lay down on God's altar. Then call for his heavenly fire to come and consume you.
Yeah.
In light of all he's done for you, this is your reasonable service.
I know.
See, that feels yeah. like a lot.
Yeah.
It feels like, well, it's what he said. It feels like we're giving everything. We are.
We should be.
Like, yes. That's reasonable, yeah. is to give God every part of us.
Because mm-hmm. he gave every part of him.
He did. Mm-hmm. And it's in light of all he's done for you, this is our reasonable service. See, if someone hasn't done anything for you, this would not be reasonable.
Right. Right.
But when we consider what Jesus has done for us and the plan of God, the plan of redemption, the plan he had from the very beginning, which was he created a place for us to fellowship with him. And then that got messed up. So he had a plan of redemption so that we could fellowship with him again. Mm-hmm. And in light of all of that and everything that he's done, everything that's been prophesied, that has been fulfilled, everything that he's done for you and the whole scale of the Bible, plus individually, specifically yeah. just for you, mm-hmm. then this doesn't seem that bad. You know, like yeah. we have to make that calculation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to look at it and say, this is reasonable based on everything he's mm-hmm. done. And now I don't actually feel like it's that big of a deal. It's something I actually want to do.
Right. Instead of trying to hold on to things, that's what keeps you separated. Mm-hmm. Like sin doesn't separate you because God's already taken sin out of the equation. Mm-hmm. But what separates us is us not living in his fullness. Mm-hmm. It's we've laid part of ourselves on the altar, mm-hmm. or this part, but we want to keep this part.
It's the distance we create between yes. us and God, not a distance he has created between yes. himself and us.
Yeah, that's good. That's where I was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. That's good. But I want to read that verse in the Passion Translation. Romans 12:1 says, Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. Mm-hmm. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. I think that's just so awesome. It's experiencing all that delights his heart. So when we're giving ourselves, we're giving ourselves to him so that his heart is experiencing the delight of what we're doing, because now he knows we're in a position to receive the abundance of everything that he has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. And it's a relationship. I mean, you know this. In our marriage,
yes.
I don't want just a part.
No, you don't.
Like, I'm not satisfied unless you're giving me 100%.
I know.
And
help
to me. Skylar, get out of here. Like, that's totally reasonable to me.
Right.
Because why? Because I want to fellowship with you. Like, I want a relationship with you, not just 50% of you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's what God wants. Mm-hmm. Like, he created us to fellowship with, and it doesn't, he's not satisfied with when we just give him 30%, 50%, 70%.
Right.
He wants
all of it.
We think we're doing really good if we give him like 50%.
Right.
That's probably really good on in our minds. But there's a whole lot more that he doesn't have access to that he's not able to fellowship with.
Yeah, he wants all of it. And it's not because he wants to consume everything.
He wants or to control.
He wants to release everything and give everything to us. But we have to have room for it. We have to have space for it so that it doesn't, because it can't occupy two different spaces. We can't have two masters.
Right.
And that's what it boils down to. This book really is, you know, self-sacrifice, the source of all grief. But it's really, how many masters are you going to have in your life? Are you going to have two or one?
Yeah.
And is self going to be your Lord or is Jesus going to be your Lord?
Yeah.
All right. So the next, did you even get to this? Yeah, you read the second part. In light of all that he's done for you, it's a reasonable service. I love that. I love how it says you have to lay yourself on there. You have to humble yourself. You do this, reject yourself as Lord. And then you have to call for the heavenly fire to come and consume you.
Yes. I really think this is such a great visual.
Yeah.
Like as I was reading it again and again and again, it's like, this is such a great visual because it's easy to say, I lay my, you know, I give you this thing. I put this on the altar.
Yeah.
But imagine yourself crawling onto an altar and you're just laying there and then you're calling for the fire of heaven to consume you. I mean, what that means, you trust God. You love him. You know he loves you.
Yeah.
So you know he's good. Mm-hmm. And you have faith that because he says to do this, it's for your good. And at the other end of it, after this is over, you're going to be in a better position than when you had to crawl yourself upon an altar and say, consume me.
Yeah. I know this last chapter, it's really a kind of a summary of all of it. And I probably highlighted 80% of it because there's just so many good parts to it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I see on the comments, Clarissa says that means there's action required on our parts.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Faith always requires action.
Too many times we sit there and we wait and we say like, you know, Lord, if call me out or, you know, if you want to get something to me, just make me do it.
Right.
You know, just make me do something. And it's like, no, there has to be action on our part.
Yeah. There has to be... Faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. And if you believe God can fill you and give you his abundance and is a consuming fire to get rid of it, like the action is you put yourself on the altar.
Yeah.
That's the work that you need to do is continually dying to live. Mm-hmm. And that's the title for today's was dying to live. And it might seem, you know, worldly, it'd be, you know, you should live to live or whatever, you know, but in the kingdom, you die to yourself so that you can experience his life.
Yeah.
And his life and your life, when it's fused together, becomes one life. And it's a supernatural life.
Yeah.
That next paragraph says, the only problem with living sacrifices is they tend to crawl off the altar. Because it gets too hot. It gets too much. You want to get off the altar because, man, it's just requiring too much.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to give up that. Mm-hmm. There was something this last week, I won't get into the details, but you gave up something because God was showing you some things. And it was something that was relatively new and all this stuff, but you're like, he showed it and you're like, oh, like, I got to get rid of this. And you did. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, I know in my life, there's times where he's told me, like, there's been times where I've swung too far. I've talked about this before, but like listening to natural or whatever podcast or whatever, right. I've swung too far to that side just to not have just whatever, just get my brain on like tilt or whatever. But, and he's corrected me and told me, no, you have to be feeding yourself. And like as pastor, something he's really been making me very, very aware of is, you know, my life is not my own as a Christian, mm-hmm. but even more so as a pastor, there's people underneath the anointing as it flows that I can't be the bottle. I can't be the stopper.
Right.
And that, you know, that has the tendency to be like, oh my gosh, I have to be perfect, like pressure. Mm-hmm. But really, if I just give it to him, if I stay on the altar and just turn it to him, it creates easiness.
Yeah.
And it's not hard. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, you know, we have to make sure we don't crawl off every time we get up on the altar.
Yeah. When it gets a little too uncomfortable,
yeah.
a little too hot.
Yeah. He says, even if you make a commitment in your heart now, you'll have to renew it again tomorrow, next week, and next month. Mm-hmm. Choosing to, and it's funny because I, right after I read that, I stopped and I wrote on the next, in the paragraph, it's continual. And then I read, the next sentence says, choosing to love Jesus more than self is a continual life decision. I was like, oh, well, I guess I didn't need to write that.
Yeah.
But it's just something that jumped out. It's like, man, this is something that happens. And, you know, he says you'll have to do it tomorrow. It might be something you have to do in the next minute.
Yeah.
Because right when you're like, oh, God, I'm giving you everything, this, somebody comes and says something, and now that self wants to rise back up, and you got to die to it.
Absolutely.
Right then.
Absolutely.
Do you have any more in that whole paragraph? Like, I have the rest of it.
Yeah, I have it all highlighted.
Read that.
So even if, let's see, where'd you leave off? You can't pray yeah. once and deal with self forever. Wah, wah, wah. Too bad. You can't pray once and deal with self forever. It just doesn't work that way. As long as you're here on earth, check where you are. Mm-hmm. You're on earth.
We are.
You must continually choose to stay on the altar. And I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. By reckoning yourself as dead and submitting to the authority of the Holy Spirit. If you don't, self will find a way to rear its ugly head again real soon.
Yeah.
And I put a little note on this in my book, and this is where it says, you must choose to stay on the altar by reckoning self as dead and submitting to the authority of the Holy Spirit. I wrote, what does a dead person want?
Yeah.
What does a dead person believe? What does a dead person love? What does a dead person hate? Mm-hmm. What does a dead person think? Answer those questions.
Right.
And then you'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Because a dead person doesn't do any of that.
Right.
Dead person doesn't want anything. So if you reckon yourself dead, then you don't want anything. You don't love anything or hate anything or think yeah. anything other than what? Other than you submitting to the authority of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. What does God love? What does God hate?
Right.
What does God think?
Right.
What does God believe? What does God believe about you? What does God believe about your husband, your children, your neighbor, your mm-hmm. coworkers? That then is what you now believe. Why?
Yeah.
Because the old you's dead.
Yep.
Because so you've reckoned yourself, your opinions, as dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. And I don't know if we've hit 100 comments. I think we probably have.
We haven't, but we are so close.
Okay, we haven't yet. Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, but we're so close.
I didn't want to miss it. It's so true. And it starts out, the next sentence is really God's desire. The Lord wants you void of self even more than you do. So no matter how much you are saying God, and that's something I think we get distracted with, is we'll pray to God to do something that he's already done or that he's already empowered us to do it. If he's telling us right here that we have to die to ourselves, there's power to do that. Why in the world is happening? That is the strangest, just random comment that I've just seen there.
They're just trying to get to 100 now.
I think so. My God, what is happening? Oh my gosh, talking about Dr. Moore.
Right, exactly. It's one of those hard to be there moments.
Then he says, throw yourself wide open to God and let the Holy Spirit minister his truth deep in your heart.
Yes.
And that's really such a key, is opening up to God and letting him do his work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been, I mean, we could, you and I could probably sit here and take up the whole rest of the time talking about things God's corrected us on and showed us and redirected us. But it's having a heart posture that's open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And ready to receive his correction or his direction.
Because
mm-hmm. Sometimes when you get, you know, his redirection is a correction.
Yeah.
Because you're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Even if you're just 1 degree off, right now it doesn't seem like that much.
Mm-hmm.
But in 10 years, you're so far away from where you should have been. You know, it's like, oh man, I've really messed up.
Yeah.
And that's where deception comes in. This next part of the chapter talks about maturing or matured by his word. Did you have anything in that first paragraph?
It's highlighted and starred.
Yeah, go ahead. I have the whole thing highlighted.
In his goodness, God sends his word, not sickness, disease, or poverty, to correct and mature his beloved children. That's a whole
teaching
by itself. Yes. By his word, you're thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. God's word has come to you today. Will you humble yourself and act in faith on what he's spoken?
Yeah, this chapter has a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Because he's summarizing everything that he's taught. So he's basically going through and re-emphasizing some of the key points and saying, are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
And it's challenging.
Yes, in such a great way.
It is, yes. But we're a church that challenges you.
Yeah.
We heard that word earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, next paragraph, because I have the whole thing.
So the very fact that you've read this far, this is so good. The very fact that you've read this far tells me something. You're probably someone who other people call good. Most of the time you have good attitudes and good desires, and you may even be active in your local church in many ways, which everyone who's commenting, right. Everyone is. However, mm-hmm. Be honest with yourself. Are you winning the day-to-day battle with self? I'm fully aware that you haven't arrived yet, but have you left? And I wrote in the comments, you have to ask this frequently. Ask yourself this question frequently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have I left? Have I given God the opportunity to correct me?
Mm-hmm.
Or redirect me.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick says the big however.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a big word.
Yeah. Are you winning the day-to-day battle with self?
Even those of us who, you know, maybe we've been serving the Lord for a long time, mm-hmm. or maybe we hold position in the church, or maybe we have a title in front of our name, or something like that. All of that stuff, quote, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, and we all, because none of us are perfected, we all have ways and areas in our life and things that we have not yet placed on that altar, or we've placed it on the altar, but we grabbed it back. We took it back. Yeah. So you can't have that. So we all have to ask this question.
And that's really, you know, progress.
It is.
The enemy will want you to feel condemned because you haven't arrived. But God's just saying you're in the process. Keep stepping forward.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about the destination. Worry about the day-to-day decisions that lead you to the destination.
Mm-hmm.
And not worry about it, but make the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God's, like, his empowerment is to, and his grace enables you to, when you're faced with a situation, to die to yourself and live for him. So he's empowered you to say, right now, I can make this decision to take another step towards God
mm-hmm.
and die to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we do that, that's progress. That's what God's looking for. That's what God's drawing us into. So that when the enemy comes and says, you haven't arrived, just say, well, sorry, sucker, you're never going to arrive. But I'm moving to the right place. I'm going to end up in the right place.
Sorry, sucker.
Yeah, sorry, sucker. You can put that on there. Put that in the comments. Sorry, sucker. We have had to have hit 100 comments. Are you going to count them, Skylar?
I tripped.
You trucked?
I tried to count them, but the comments from the beginning of the video have disappeared. Like, I can't go all the way back to the beginning. So we're going to have to do it after the fact, it seems.
Okay. So we're going to have to do after the fact. For some reason, the restream may have updated or something, and now it didn't tell us the 100th comment. Yeah. So.
We were looking. But we will let you know.
Yes.
Just I have continue a book the suspense.
Ready to give out.
I just pick someone.
Why don't you put everybody's name in one of that, like, online randomizer? That we did for Christmas, and we'll spin the wheel. There we go.
Hannah's here. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, Hannah. Thank you for joining. Elizabeth joined as well. We have 21 people watching. It's fantastic. Where did you get? Oh, yeah, you haven't arrived, but you have. Have you left?
Yeah.
It says most people have never consciously dealt with self. Is that true of you? Perhaps this is the first time a message from God's word on this topic has ever been presented to you. And then I have this highlighted and kind of starred, but maybe you have denied yourself a little in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, oh, aren't we awesome?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then he says, but overall, self has remained your true king. It's like, you know, we say, you know, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Most of the time, we really just mean he's our Savior.
Right.
We haven't given him lordship over our lives. Because if that were the case, we would be dead to self. We would surrender our rights and yield to him,
mm-hmm.
and do what he's told us to do, called us to do, asked us to do, whatever. And most of the time, we have a difficult time doing that. Some of it, you could say it's our the culture in America is one of freedom. We do what we want, all these kind of things. There's this false freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That we think, even though it's a natural freedom, it's not true spiritual freedom. And if we hold on to that, thinking we treat God like our president, like he works for us kind of thing,
right.
We're so misled and deceived. We have to literally, like, we do have to die to ourselves, our wants, our desires, our needs, and turn them over to God.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in a marriage, like you said, like, you want 100% of me. Well, guess what? I want 100% of you.
Right.
And when you enter into covenant, that's what really covenant is.
Yeah.
It's everything that I have is now available to you. Yeah. And everything you have is available to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with Abraham and God. They entered into covenant. And at that point, you know, we're Abraham's seed. Therefore, we receive everything that that covenant brought. Abraham is now ours. And it's such good news. Because now we can die to ourselves and live for him in this covenant of grace and of peace and of joy and of fulfillment and abundance and all these things, because one man decided to die to his needs and wants and desires and follow God.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the same for you all in your family. You could change the destiny and course of your family, your children, your children's children, by turning to God and saying, you know what? I'm dying to myself. I want all of you.
Yeah.
And you can change everything in an instant. We have not at liberty to discuss it, but I mean, there's testimonies of people's marriages being turned around overnight.
Mm-hmm.
People's healing and their bodies getting healed instantly. Things happening right now that shouldn't have happened for a while, but God has made a way.
Yes.
And when we yield to God and we start pursuing God, it's amazing how close he is with the answer.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh man, I've lived 10 years bad, so now I have to live 10 years good to get back to where he is.
Right.
He's always right there with you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Deep down inside, or deep down in your heart, are you still the center of the universe? Are you an adult brat who throws temper tantrums, sophisticated or not? Do you consume upon yourself every resource that comes your way? Has it really sunk into your heart that there's someone more important than you? he has no problem putting these hard, just stabby questions in there. Can you read the next part?
The Holy Spirit's leading you to make a particular response right now in light of what he's been revealing.
Yeah.
So whenever you're watching this, make this your right now moment.
Yes.
Whether you're watching live or you're watching the recording, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit's leading you to make a particular response right now in light of what he's been revealing.
Yes.
Whether you've consciously done this before or not, God wants you to deal with self-faithfulness from now on. God wants you mm-hmm. to deal with yourself faithfully from now mm-hmm. on. It's a process that will continue for the rest of your life.
That's accurate, and God's empowered you to do it.
Right. Yeah, and it's not saying, you don't have to say, I promise I will be perfect for the rest of my life.
Yes.
That's not what he's asking you to do. He's just saying, when I show you something, respond. Will you give mm-hmm. it to me?
Yeah.
Will you respond by putting yourself up on that altar and calling for the fire to come consume everything that's not of him?
Yeah.
Will you do that? And then will you do it the next time? Mm-hmm. And then will you do it the next time? And then when you realize you didn't do it, then will you say, Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
I know that you do forgive me. And then will you get back on there? With no condemnation, mm-hmm. you just say, from this moment on, I'm moving forwards. I had a moment where I was stagnant in my walk with this, but right now I'm moving forwards. Yeah. Will you do that?
And, you know, it's where it's one of those things. I love what you said in the beginning, like, don't say I'll be perfect. Don't set yourself up for something that you'll fail mm-hmm. in. That's like, you know, a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read the Bible for 2 hours every day. Like, don't do that. Don't set yourself up to fail. Because as soon as you don't, now the enemy's going to condemn you for it. And then you're going to be, well, that's justified because I promised. Now I lied to God. Oh my gosh, I'm a blasphemer and I deserve to go to hell and all these things happen. Just say, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to read and meditate on your word this year more.
Yeah.
And then so, because what happens if you, or like, I'm going to read 10 chapters a day or five, whatever it is. What if you read the third verse and the Holy Spirit just drops something and it becomes alive to you and you don't even get past that? You just meditate on that verse for the next week.
Yeah.
That's way more productive than just reading mm-hmm. the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just reading it to read it, it becomes a book. Mm-hmm. If you read it to know it, it becomes life. Mm-hmm. And that's what God really wants from us.
Yeah.
He wants it to become life in you, not just a book that fills your head with knowledge, mm-hmm. but something that brings life and his abundant life. Yeah. He talks about the Apollo spacecraft that traveled directly to the moon. He said he used to think that happened just in a straight line, like, boop.
It's there. Yeah, me too.
Then he met Jim Irwin, one of the astronauts who walked on the moon. So he actually talked to someone who walked on the moon. He said, we made course corrections every 10 minutes for the entire flight. And I mean, really, isn't that what our life is like?
Yes.
Every minute we have to make a course correction sometimes. And sometimes you make the wrong course correction, you're further off course.
Right.
And you got to bring it back even more painfully. You got to drag it back up on the altar and lay it there to let more get consumed. He said, we just kept checking where we were against where we were going and adjusted accordingly until we arrived. That's
so good.
I know.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Where you're going.
Here's your flight path right here.
Right.
It's the word of God. So anytime you get off course, just go back, check this, because this is where we're going.
Yeah.
This is life.
Yeah.
Eternal life.
So where am I?
Yeah. Where am I? I'm over here. Well, what does this say right here? Oh, it says, oh, I need to seek him and he will be found by you. That's pretty handy. So yeah. I'm going to go back to seeking him mm-hmm. and just start moving in the right direction. Get back on course. And then if you get off course, you get right back on course. And it's awesome the way it works. Well, I'll say the way it's worked with me. But the more course corrections I've made, the shorter distances off track I get. Mm-hmm. If you're just starting out, you're a new believer and you're like, wow, this sounds awesome. What does that even mean? When you get off track, it's like God, the Holy Spirit's going to show you some things. Just move right back on track with him.
Yeah.
And all that is just like what Pastor Shanti said a while ago, you know, Father, thank you for forgiving me. Mm-hmm. That I got self-centered again. Yeah. And I need to keep you in the center. So I'm getting back on track, putting you in the center and doing what you've asked me to do. I forgive them. I'm whatever it takes, get back on track.
Forgive myself.
I forgive. And that's one of the biggest ones. I don't know, in my career supervising store managers and associates and all this stuff, one thing I heard is whenever I, especially when I had to do like a corrective action with somebody because their performance was poor or whatever, they would always say, you know, I know you have to do this, but I'm really harder on myself than you'll ever be. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I understand that. In the kingdom, we need to die to that.
Yeah.
Because that keeps you in a place of defeat. And we need to release that and say, God, thank you. You've forgiven me.
Yeah.
Therefore, I forgive me. Because if I don't forgive me, even though he has, now I'm saying my judgment is more righteous than his.
Mm-hmm. It's so self-centered.
It is. I'm way more important than you are, God. My judgment is more pure and more righteous.
How can it be less self-centered to forgive yourself than to not forgive yourself?
Yeah.
But it is. Because God says, because otherwise, what did Jesus even die for?
Right.
And that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're saying, oh, if I have to pay this price for my disobedience or my whatever, then Jesus really didn't do enough. And that's not a place you want to be. That's not a thought you really want to have for long.
Right.
Because Holy Spirit's coming to say, no, what Jesus did settled it. And it's your job to accept it. You have to receive that. Mm-hmm. Receive it.
Yeah.
That's what God wants. That's what God, that's what Jesus is praying that we do.
Yep.
He's praying for us that we receive what he has done for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just looking at some of the comments.
Yeah.
There've been a lot of really good ones. I haven't kept up real well with them, but the last part of that chapter, did you have something else?
Well, I just saw that, like Kim says, I've derailed several times. And just, we all have, Kim.
Yeah.
We all have. And, you know, you just get back on.
I was going to say, recognizing that is a big step.
It absolutely is.
Because some people don't feel they've ever derailed. Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, I'll just say, as pastors, we might be hearing something from someone. They're telling us about this, and we're like, not right, but they're not in a position. They're telling us how awesome it is. They're not in a position to hear any correction. They're not even asking for it. But we're like, they need to recognize they're off course. And that's what our prayer is, that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened, that they'll get that information and that revelation. But man, if you recognize, oh, I've derailed here, super simple. Just get right back on the rail. Just say, God, thank you for showing me that I'm off course. Now I'm back on course with you. And that's it. It does. There's no penance. There's no punishment.
Yeah.
There's no nut. There's grace and there's mercy. And now you're still righteous.
Yeah.
Even when you're off track, you are righteous.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's that moment of repentance where you're like, ooh, that wasn't right.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Really. Because you're saying, oh, that wasn't right. There's a better way. I'm going to go with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. I'll just read a couple things in this last paragraph. But it says, when you begin to deal with self-centeredness honestly, you've left the launch pad. However, as conditions change, there will be many course corrections you must make to keep self in submission. Mm-hmm. Have you left yet? Are you making regular course adjustments?
Yeah.
Amen. I believe we all have, and we all are making those adjustments. It talks next, he gives an account of his life and how he was touched by God. And he said when he felt like he was at his worst, that's when God poured out his love mm-hmm. to him and just really changed his life. He says that, you know, he thought he was so self-centered. Everything he did was for his own accolades. And even when he was winning somebody to the Lord, it was so he could go back and show everybody, look what I did.
Yeah, I was doing good things for man's approval and to earn God's love.
Yes, yeah. He says, I actually believed that through my own righteousness and good works, I could develop a closer relationship with the Lord. And I mean, we've all been there. We've all thought like, well, I've done this and I've done that, so surely I'm in better standing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's not how that works. He said later just how he got this revelation. God held a mirror up in front of him, and he saw so much of how hypocritical he was in that. And he thought, man, God's going to just like zap me and melt me down to nothing. And that's what he said. God poured his love out on him. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, when you are dying to yourself and you're thinking, oh, this is so painful, that's the opportunity for God just to pour out his love. And some of the results of that, Elizabeth just posted or put something up there, dancing on the abundance of his mercy and grace. And I'll just tell on Elizabeth here just because I can't. She's not here to stop me. But she said a couple weeks ago to me that she's just been experiencing so much joy in her life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, it's coming from revelation. It's coming from time with God. It's keeping God at the front of it in her life, mm-hmm. and dying to herself and living for God. And she's seeing, the result of that isn't somebody walking around moping and,
right,
oh, I've lost so much. No, it's somebody walking around in joy, in peace, and living in the abundance of God.
Yeah.
Because look what he's done. I mean, this Sunday she was in the nursery for a few minutes. but she was scheduled in the nursery. And she texted before we got home. She said, whatever happens Sunday, I want in on it. Like, come get me, basically. So, we worked that out. She's able to come out, and God really met her, and she received. And that's really what it's about. It's like, we have got to keep ourselves in position, mm-hmm. to receive from God, because he's always ready and willing to pour out.
Yeah. Well, it just reminded me of the scripture I was reading earlier in Hebrews 12, verse 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Right? It's like that moment of crawling on the altar seems
painful.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it. So this is training. Yeah. Training for reigning is putting ourselves on the altar.
Yep.
That trains us. It's like when we do it, then the next time it's a little bit easier. At least we know the outcome is going to be good.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So it's easier to do. And you're like, Lord, you've been faithful in the past. I know you're going to be faithful this time. Even though right now it seems not so fun to my flesh because it's dying.
Yep.
But I know you're faithful. So yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about with Elizabeth and those of us that have experienced that. Mm-hmm. So your righteousness, the fruit of your righteousness starts to come forth. Why? Because all that other stuff's been burned up. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't burn up the righteousness. The righteousness is then able to be fruitful. It's able to be expressed.
Manifest, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. manifest.
Yep. And it's not fun. It's mm-hmm. painful in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it produces, and you can talk about kids and parenting and all this stuff. Like, you don't correct your kid because you're angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
You correct your kid, because it's best for them. It's going to put them back in the right track,
mm-hmm.
because they don't know mm-hmm. what's right or what's wrong. They have to be taught. So when you correct them, it's for their benefit, not just yours. Most of the time, people correct them to get them to stop doing something so that my peace and my joy can maintain,
mm-hmm.
or that I'm not irritated or frustrated. That's the wrong motivation.
Yeah.
It needs to be, correction needs to come from love for them, not love for self.
Yes. Whoops. Very good. Very true.
Yes. Let's see where we're at. We're at that last part, and it's a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, pray this out loud in front of God, yourself, and the devil. For maximum effect, he said, ask your spouse or someone close to listen and agree as you pray. Self won't like that, but it's good for you.
Yeah. Don't skip that part. Don't skip that part.
Pray it with someone out mm-hmm. loud. So you're hearing yourself and they're hearing you. Now you have an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you speak something out loud, it becomes way more real.
Yes.
So it says, humble yourself, reject self as Lord, and lay upon God's altar. Then call for the Lord's fire from heaven to consume you, a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I'm fighting a sneeze if I keep talking. So okay. Can you read this?
Yeah. So I'm just going to read this prayer and then you all pray it with us. So Father, I choose to humble myself today. I want to be more conscious of you than I am of me. I see how selfish I've been. Therefore, I wholeheartedly renounce self-centeredness and I choose to turn from it now. Forgive me for blaming circumstances and other people, for being depressed because I couldn't get something, and for being so consumed with myself. Father, I've allowed self to be God in my life. Please forgive me. Change me from within so only you are God. I'm not sure how, but I am willing. I want you to be Lord over every part of my life. Father, I place myself upon your altar as a living sacrifice. I'll obey anything you ask me to do. Please help me love you more than I love myself. Consume me in the fire of your heavenly love from this day forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, my King, amen.
Amen. That's a great prayer. That's something we should probably make a habit of praying.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has the book because I handed it out to everybody. So you've got a copy of it. You should pray that out loud and pray it often. And it's a great reminder of what you've prayed and what you want to happen.
Yeah.
Especially the
It's getting back on track.
Yeah.
All that is, you're just back on track. Course correction.
Yeah. I love it. It says, I'll obey anything you ask me to do. That can sometimes be a scary thing to say because we think he's going to ask us to do something crazy, like move to Africa and live in a mud hut.
Yeah. Well, even when I say those words, there's something on the inside that's like, don't say that.
Resisting, yeah. 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 Your flesh is like, no.
Right. Do you mean anything? I'll do a lot of things that you ask me to do.
That's, yes.
But that's not being a living sacrifice. Right.
That's
of
crawling
everything.
Off the altar.
mm-hmm. That's crawling off the altar. Yeah.
And it says, if you've prayed this in your heart, God has faithfully begun his work. Go ahead and express your love to Jesus. Use your own words, praise and exalt him. Consider his goodness in your life and thank him for changing you from the inside out. Begin practicing his presence wherever you go and acknowledging him throughout the day. And I love this last couple of sentences. Your love for and awareness of the Lord will increase.
Mm-hmm.
Then what used to be a crisis won't even faze you. As you pass through life's adversities, alive and prospering in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. The things that used to derail you won't. The things that used to cause you to go into a self-centered fit won't. You'll recognize the deception, the ploy of the enemy, and you'll be removed from it, and you'll be able to stay on track mm-hmm. with a single purpose of keeping God center of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Skylar, were you able to get everybody in there? Mm-hmm. All right. Skylar's going to spin a wheel to see who gets the book because it didn't.
One second.
Okay. 1 second. Stalling. This book is called The War is Over by, Andrew Womack, the same author of the fabulous book, Self-Centeredness, Source of All Grief. And you can see things are happening on the screen. And there we go. There's kind of a wheel. It just got bigger. Yep. There we go. This is what we're working with. And everybody's going to say, amen, glory to God.
Yep.
Spin that wheel. Oh my gosh.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh.
Nick.
Nick.
Munsterman.
Munsterman.
Woo! Congratulations, Nick. You win the book, The War is Over.
Nick Minsterman.
Minsterman, that's right. Okay. Well, glory to God. I hope you all have enjoyed this book. You know, I know it's somewhat painful, but it's a good pain and is a good correction. And don't let this be the last time you look at it or read it or go through. This is something you should really, like, I have some messages that I listen to nearly every year, mm-hmm. sometimes multiple times a year. But the first few years, I listened a lot to them. This is one that I think we should do at least once a year. Just, it's kind of like your inoculation to self. Keep bringing these things back up.
Yeah, just keep it on your bedside table or your living room table or something, just so, you know, you see it there and you get this little, like, thought, like, oh, just look at it. Open it up and read a chapter. It's so short.
Yeah, the chapters are very
but
fast.
But every easy. Single chapter has something, I'm sure, that every single one of us can make a course correction
yes.
by. And so just keep it around. Keep it in front of your eyes.
Amen. Well, thank you all. If you want to give to the Hope For You broadcast, you can do so with the QR code over there when it comes up. And right there. And you can give. Dun, dun, dun. easily through there. Just select the Hope For You on the app or on the website where it takes you to. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, thank you for that. Leave us a rating, review, 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Go to our YouTube and subscribe to that as well. And follow us on all our social medias. I really pray that you got something out of this book. In fact, I want to end with prayer, and then we have a special thing for tomorrow going on. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for just your insight, your wisdom. And I thank you that this book has revealed some truths and some things in our life that we need to place on the altar willingly. We need to be that living sacrifice, Father. And then we need to ask for your fire to fall and consume all of it, Father. We thank you that you are an all-consuming fire. You only burn up what's not of you, Father. And that's what we want. We want more of you and less of us. And we just thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow, Apostles Dale and Dana are going to be on here.
Woo.
So join, comment, do all the stuff that you normally do. Get in here. I'm going to give my voice a break. And so, glory to God, I'll be ready to fire away on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm.
So.
You know it's going to be good.
It is, because what we got at Kickstart hasn't gone away. And not saying that, you know, every Sunday is going to be like last Sunday, but this Sunday we'll see what that looks like. But there's some things I already know I need to do or supposed to do for that. So I love how Brother Tracy, he'll say something and it's like he just articulates what I've sensed and what I've had in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And just some of these like great men of God, like I heard something from Pastor Bill Johnson. I shared it. It's about all these tests that you take, your strength finder, and all these different tests and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I shared on Facebook. And he's like, you know, you can do those, but the only problem is that's all men's wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's not God.
Yeah.
And if you read that, now you think this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, yes, because you know how I'm just done with all those.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I won't go on too much.
Just done with them.
They're pointless.
Those tests.
All these, like, Street Finder tests and personality profiles and all these things. Oh, well, I'm a 7 and a Q, or I'm a this or whatever. You're a child of God, so just move on with that. So, anyway, love you. I'm going to get on a soapbox real fast.
I know. Let's shut this thing down.
We love you. Thank you all. God bless. Have a great day. Bye-bye.